We are a privileged and blessed people. I've got a complete copy of the Word of God this morning right here. I can read it anytime I want to. I can study. I can know the mind of God as much as He wants me to know it from this book. That's a great blessing that I don't think we realize how great it is, because we've never been without it. Let's ask God's blessing this morning as we open the Word. And I realize this morning that what I am preaching is going to go on the World Wide Web, and I'm going to be speaking to whoever God brings along. And so I want to say to whoever hears this message, if you are listening to me, I am talking to you. And so I want you to listen close. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truths, the nuggets we can glean from Your Word. And I pray that You would help me to preach this morning, to drive home a very important truth, and to drive it home in such a way that it is understandable, that it will stick, that it will last, and that You would do a work in the hearts of those who hear it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8. There's a story that's related to us in the three synoptic Gospels. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, "And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? And when He was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met Him two, possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of God? Art Thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought Him, saying, If Thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And He said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw Him, they besought Him that He would depart out of their coasts." Mark chapter 5. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes." The Gadarenes and the Gergesenes are the same area. They're just two different cities that are close to here, so there's no contradiction. "And when He was come out of the ship, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Obviously, one of the men was more pronounced and more wild and obvious than the other one. So to relate the story and speak of one man rather than two is normal and common. There's no contradiction here. "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could tame him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped Him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure Thee, by God, that Thou torment me not. And He came unto him, He said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And He asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought Him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. The word legion means a great multitude. It isn't any specific number, but it can be as many as 6,000. We don't know how many demons were here. The number itself does not tell us that. But we know it was enough to take care of 2,000 swine. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done unto thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Turn to Luke chapter 8. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into the swine, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. What is the message of this story? Here we have a satanic stronghold among God's own covenant people. We find that when Jesus purposed to go there, Satan sent a storm on the lake and tried to drown him before he could get there. We find that when he comes there, he finds that this society, such a satanic stronghold here, that at least two of the people were demoniacs. They had produced at least two demoniacs that were full of a legion of demons. How did this happen? How did they get this way? What is it that would so distract the Jewish community and so harden their hearts that when their day of visitation from the Lord came, when their own promised Messiah was there to preach salvation to them, when they actually saw His mighty power, what is it that could cause them to turn Him away and ask Him to leave? I'll tell you what it was. It was harbored hogs. Harbored hogs. The swine were illegal contraband. It was known rebellion against God's Word. God took one of the most disgusting creatures He ever made and made it a symbol of sin and uncleanness. And He told the Jews they could not eat thereof. And He was trying to teach them to discern between that which was right and that which was wrong, that which was clean and that which was unclean. And there's no doubt anybody who's ever owned a hog or a pig can tell it's a very unclean, disgusting animal. And Peter talks about the sow that was washed returns to her wallowing in the mire. And a dog returns to eating his own vomit. God made these creatures, and He made clean animals, He made unclean animals to teach us principles of how He views our sin. When God sees you going back to your sin, He wants you to look at it and think of a dog lapping up his vomit. That's what God says it looks like. And when God sees you in your sin and known transgression and your selfishness and so forth, He wants you to think about that pig out there rooting through its own manure and slop and slime and disgusting smell. That's how God views sin. These Jews knew that this was wrong. In order to harbor these hogs, they had to harden their heart and sear their consciences. You know, you can't always keep a hog from running through your backyard. But it's when you start to feed these things, they begin to stay around. If you continue to feed these hogs, they stay and they will multiply. The longer they stay and multiply, the more you have to sear your conscience and harden your heart to justify your rebellious spirit. As I observe this story, I see that the only ones worth saving were the demoniacs. Were they produced by a hog-harboring society, hog-harboring parents? Why are there two demoniacs in this one small community? What doors are open to Satan when parents harbor rebellion against God's Word? When parents begin to harbor hogs in the home? Why is it that we see around our society respectable people, people that are upright citizens, and then we see their children with bones in their noses and pierced in their ears and in their tongue and in their eyebrows and eyelids and everything they can pierce, everything they can do, they do. They color their hair, wear tattoos all over, black makeup, demonic music, ungodly clothes. Is it due to harbored hogs in the home? These two demoniacs, they were a product of this hog-harboring society. Can we put the two together and realize that there was a connection there? You didn't find two demoniacs when He went to Bethany or Bethlehem or different places, but He found them in Gadara. We were down in Versailles picking up Hannah, and I noticed the newspaper had an article in there about this girl and her boyfriend, and how this girl had allowed, or they're both probably on drugs or drunk or something, and they had beaten her little 3-year-old boy to death. The boyfriend did. And the sheriff was quoted in the paper as saying, "How did this happen? Where did the system break down?" And I was reading that. I told the cashier lady, I said, "Boy, I wish I could answer this man's questions for him. How do you expect to harbor hogs and not produce demoniacs? How do you expect to kick God out of the schools and teach evolution and promote feminism and fornication and pornography and drugs and liquor and dirty movies and TV and rock and roll music and all types of immorality, irreverence, profane religion, man-modified churches, and you have all these hogs harbored, no rebellion against Almighty God, and then you wonder why the system broke down. You wonder why this girl has a little boy, and then she has a boyfriend. Well, where's her husband at?" You know, in the animal world, if a polar bear comes along and finds a she-bear with cubs, the polar bear will kill those cubs. They're not his cubs. They're not his offspring. He just wants the female polar bear. Well, why do you expect when men start living like animals and you're told you came from animals, they do the same thing? That wasn't that man's boy. He didn't care anything about that little precious 3-year-old boy. He beat him to death because he messed his pants. Where did the system break down? It broke down when you started harboring hogs. You wonder why the teens in this nation are self-destructing? committing suicide, taking drugs, obsessed with death. Well, you notice when these people were full of the devil, they cast off modesty, didn't they? He wore no clothes. He cast off chains. They could not be tamed. They were wild and unruly. They were obsessed with death, living among the graves and the tombs. They cut themselves. They pierced themselves. There was self-destruction in their minds. They made themselves odious. They made themselves disgusting. They saw Jesus and His preaching as a source of torment. They feared it. But you notice after the devils were gone, we find them clothed. Where'd they get those clothes? Jesus and the disciples got the man some clothes. Amen? They were tamed. They were teachable. They were in their right mind. They stopped cutting themselves, piercing themselves. They wanted to hear Jesus teach. They wanted to sit at Jesus' feet. They were desirous of the knowledge of God. They wanted to be with Jesus. The people came out to see what happened. Why couldn't they get excited about sinners repenting, putting their clothes on and getting their minds straightened out? Why couldn't they appreciate what God was doing in their midst? Here's a man who walked on shore and had power over this man that they could not tame. They chained him and he broke the chains and fetters. And this man transformed this other man's life. Why couldn't they appreciate that? Why couldn't they say amen? Why didn't they want to hear what this man had to say? Why didn't they want to hear the Word of God? Why didn't they want to sing His praises? Why didn't they want to invest their money and support this preacher who was taking his time and energy to preach the gospel to them? It's because he was in the hog-killing business and they were in the hog-harboring business. That's why. And they wanted him to leave. Due to harboring hogs, their hearts were hard. Their conscience was seared. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." You cannot play both sides of the field. You harden your heart, you sear your conscience when you begin to harbor some forbidden hogs. Whatever hog they may be. God says, "What fellowship hath light with darkness? I wonder what hogs you might be harboring this morning. They couldn't say amen to what was done because Jesus killed their hogs. You ever wonder why you don't feel like saying amen? Ever wonder why you can't sing and from the heart and pray with power and conviction? Do you ever wonder why your heart is cold and insensitive to God's Word? Maybe you have a problem with authority, law, order, or submission. Maybe you don't like the chains. Maybe you want to be wild and run free. Maybe you like the music. Maybe you're drawn to the way of the world. Ever wonder why the Bible seems boring or prayer is a chore? I'll tell you why. Your conscience is not clear. Your conscience is violated by those hogs that you've hidden away. Paul said to Felix in Acts 24:16, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Paul says, "I'm not harboring any hogs. There's not going to be any known violations in my life. I'm not going to live with some hidden hog in the closet. I'm going to exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Now I want to say this morning there are two hogs that are always first. They're always the first ones. And if you allow them to stay and feed them, they produce all the rest. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. What I'm telling you this morning is the truth from the Word of God. And you will either prove it true, or you will prove it true by either hearkening to it or by not hearkening to it. You're going to be a witness for the truth one way or another way. Everybody who's ever come to this church, everyone who's ever heard me preach, have proved the preaching of the Word of God that I've given them true, one way or another. The ones that reject it and leave, prove it true. The ones who stay here and grow, prove it true. The Word of God is going to be shown to be true by your life, one way or the other. In Romans chapter 1, it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Why? Why on earth would they do that? What kind of a person could know our God and not glorify Him as God? I mean, you look at creation. You look at the irreducible complexity. You look at the intricate relationships. You look at the beautiful and special design. You look at the immensity of space. You look at the microscopic world. So what's going on that you can't even see with your eyes? All necessary for a balance of life. How could you know God and not glorify Him as God? How could you look at God's Word and God's law and see the law of the Lord is perfect? The testimony of the Lord is sure. How could you not look at God's Word and not glorify Him as God? It says here, neither were thankful. That old hog of ingratitude. They were ungrateful. And it says here, professing themselves to be wise. They thought they were smart. That old hog of pride. Pride and ingratitude. And I'm telling you, these are the first two hogs. And you let those two hogs stay around. And you feed them. And watch what they'll produce. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fitting, which was meet. AIDS is fitting. They did not like retain God in their knowledge. These hogs, you say, well, yeah, you know, I'm not going to go that far. You start feeding pride and ingratitude, you don't know how far you'll go. The man who caused the most trouble in this church, who became the greatest adversary to this church, never thought he'd go that far. He thought he was a real spiritual giant. He harbored some hogs and he went all the way to the bottom. Others who have stood up with their pride and ingratitude have produced children who were wicked. One daughter's no better than a harlot, and one boy's no better than a whoremonger, long-haired hippie freak. It's a tragedy. When you get parents start harboring their hogs, these first two hogs are always the first ones. You keep them around, they produce all the rest. It goes on to say, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, atheism, evolution, humanism is all a product of these two hogs. When men begin to harbor pride and ingratitude towards God, that's the source of evolution, evolutionary teaching. That's the source of atheism, agnosticism, feminism, humanism, you name it. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not proper, not convenient. Our word proper. They're not proper, they're not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Hey, by the way, if any of these sound like something you've been dealing with, if any of these are in your life, I'll tell you where they came from. They were propagated by two hogs. Ingratitude and pride. If it weren't for ingratitude and pride, none of these would ever have been born. And in your life, if any of these are there, it's because you're harboring those two hogs. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You notice almost every one of these has to do with relationships. Why are you disobedient to parents? Where did this hog of rebellion to authority come from? Disobedient to parents is the offspring of those two first hogs. Pride and ingratitude. Pride and ingratitude. All these have to do with relationships. It says here, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Do you have brother to brother relationship problems? You have sister to sister relationship problems? You got relationship problems with your parents? You got marital problems? Is there chaos in the home? Is there strife in the home? Is there brother-sister relationship problems? Where'd they come from? What's the root? There's two hogs. There's two hogs that have been harbored and they're reproducing themselves. They're spreading. These two hogs of ingratitude and pride are the source of your relationship problems. You get rid of ingratitude and you get rid of pride and you will get rid of your relationship problems. Only by pride cometh contention. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You cannot have a relationship that's right if one person is righteous and the other one's harboring hogs. There's going to be strife. There's going to be problems. If two people are harboring hogs, it doubles the problem. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Due to harboring hogs in our society, in our churches, we are propagating all these symptoms of depravity. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You say, well, I don't do all these. But when you sympathize with these, when you run with this crowd, when you stick up for them and defend them and befriend them, it shows it's in your heart. You're harboring the same hogs. They may not be mature yet, but they're there. Who are the heroes of our nation? Who are the stars? Who are the idols? It's these people that God says are worthy of death. Proverbs 30 verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. The hog of ingratitude. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. You see those two hogs there? Ingratitude and pride. Are you struggling with relationship problems? Does the Bible bore you? Is prayer time, is it a torment? Is church a chore? Is godliness bondage? If truth that messes with your ism is unwelcome and you would rather change the Word of God than admit you're wrong, you're harboring some hogs. If it bothers you that the preacher preaches on sin and wants to have a hog-killing revival, it's because you're harboring some hogs. It's a sure sign you're harboring hogs, your conscience is seared, your heart is hard, and you are missing the day of your visitation. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Jesus visited Gadara one time. Did they know what they did? Did they have any idea of what they did when they asked Him to leave? Oh, how could they have been so foolish to have Jesus standing on their shore and ask Him to leave? How could a heart be so hard? How could eyes be so blind? Well, they had 2,000 hogs. Didn't happen overnight, did it? Started with 2 hogs. Every herd of swine starts with 2 hogs. And they propagate. They multiply. You say, Brother Mark, how do we get back? What do we got to do? Well, like the demoniac, whatever shape you're in, you need to run to Jesus. Whatever shape you're in, you may be full of the devil. You may know you're full of the devil. But you need to run to Jesus. He's the one that can fix you. He's the one that can cast that devil out of you. He's the one that can get you clothed and in your right mind. You need to confess your sin. You need to be honest about your pride and your ingratitude. If you're honest about your pride and ingratitude, the rest of the hogs will disperse. You need to take Jesus' side against the hogs. Whatever hogs you've chosen or your family has harbored or your society has harbored, you need to take Jesus' side on every issue. He'll deliver you from Satan's bondage. You'll get your modesty back. You'll get your right mind back. You'll be transformed from a reprobate mind back to a right mind. You'll wonder why you got these tattoos around. You'll wonder why this thing is in your lip. What'd I do that for? You'll stop cutting yourself. You'll start running around the cemetery. You'll stop crying out like some kind of wild maniac. That's what their music is, you know. Like some guy crying out and yelling and like a maniac. I've often said when I've been in a store in Orchland and hear some of their singing, I've often said if I couldn't sing any better than that, I'd quit. Something strange will happen. In Mark 5:17, and they began to pray Him to depart out of their coast. And when He was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed Him that He might be with him. While they're praying Him to depart, this guy wants to go with him. He's praying to go with him and asking to be with him. I guarantee you, you get your conscience clear, you get rid of your pride and your ingratitude, you kill those hogs, and you'll want to be in church. And you'll say amen. You'll want to say amen. You'll want to sing. And you'll want to be with Jesus. And you'll want to pray. You'll want to be with His disciples. You won't be ashamed to be associated with them. While all your family's telling them to go, while your society is telling them to get out of here, you'll say, hey, wait for me. I want to go. You'll amaze those who know you. You'll become an evangelist. How? You've got a story to tell. You've got a testimony. Jesus told him, you need to go tell your testimony. Go tell your story. You know you've got a story to tell? When's the last time you told your story? He went back and told his story, and all men did marvel. There are some people, they're not going to receive Jesus. They've been misinformed about Jesus. But you come and tell them what Jesus did for you, and they might reconsider. You tell your story. Get excited about your story. You've got a testimony. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. Don't be ashamed that you were that maniac running around there naked. Now you can tell what Jesus did. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. You know, this man did not have to be pushed and prodded. He didn't have to be preached at every week. Make sure you pass out a tract. He didn't have to have church every Sunday or he'd backslide. You know, some people, they miss two Sundays in a row, three Sundays in a row, suddenly their spiritual life goes to pot. There's something wrong there. He was still in a hog-harboring society, but he didn't have to be destroyed by it. He could be a light in that society. I want you to stop and analyze your heart this morning. Are you excited about the Word of God? Is prayer sweet to you? Are you ashamed when you go out into public to be a Christian, or are you bold for the Lord and excited about what God's done in your life and who you are in Jesus? How is it with you? If your conscience is shadowed by some harbored hog, it's going to turn you into mush spiritually. You're going to have no boldness. There's going to be no excitement. You're not, when the preacher preaches, you're not going to want to shout amen. I wonder what those people's faces looked like when all their hogs ran in this lake. When all their hogs started squealing and oinking and ran off the cliff into the water. I wonder sometimes if I've seen those kind of faces when I'm up here preaching. When I'm shooting at your hog. You know, it's amazing. You look around and you wonder why someone's not saying amen. You wonder why someone's not smiling when the preacher's preaching. I know some are smiling and some have a funny look on their face like someone just shot their hog. You wouldn't dare frown right now. But God knows. God knows what's in your backyard. And God knows whether it just ran through and you weren't prepared for it, you didn't expect it, and you let it go on, or God knows whether you've put out some food for it. God knows whether you've been harboring that, started feeding them. God knows the thoughts and intents of your heart this morning. And I'm telling you this morning, if you don't destroy those first two hogs, If you don't keep your backyard clean of those first two hogs, if you don't run them out, if you're not vigilant and sober to weed them out when you see them or smell them or hear them coming around, they're going to reproduce. And you don't know how many they'll reproduce. You don't know how far it's going to take you. And you don't know what doors you're opening for your children either. These people that harbor these hogs, if they had stayed true to the Word of God and been a faithful Jewish community, I dare say they wouldn't have two demoniacs running around. Some daddy somewhere, some synagogue leader, ruler of the synagogue, somebody was a compromiser. Somebody liked the income from those hogs. Somebody was serving mammon and seared their conscience and hardened their heart. And some little boy grew up to be a demoniac. Two little boys, at least. And the rest of them grew up so hard-hearted that when the Messiah came to their shore, they prayed Him to leave. I wonder who was the first one who brought in the first two hogs. What a harvest. Hey boys, boy, the herd's really grown. Boy, we're really going to make a killing on this one. Yeah, you're going to kill your own children and grandchildren and destroy your society. You can't afford to harbor those first two hogs. And I guarantee you, if some of the other things in the list are something that God used to poke your heart, it's because the first two are already there. And they've been there a while. They're burrowed in. You know, if we're vigilant and sober, if we truly understand the danger of what I'm talking about, when there is something that comes along, when we hear ourselves say something that's ungrateful or proud, it should shock us. It should concern us. We should stop. We should clean out our yard, clear our conscience, humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. When we see ourselves do something, when we notice something in our life that we're harboring, that we're defending, that we're justifying, and we know down deep inside that the root of that is pride and ingratitude, we know that our conscience isn't clear. Don't wait. Don't begin to pour out the feed and justification. Self-justification feeds those hogs. And then they grow. Are you harboring some hogs this morning? I wonder how big your herd is. I wonder if Jesus showed up at your door. And all of a sudden started killing your hogs. I wonder which ones He'd find there. I wonder how you would feel about it. We have a society, the sheriff. Where did the system break down? How can people be so blind? Every time there's a shooting in a high school, you hear on the news, well, why would God allow this? When there's a terrible tragedy, why would God allow this? What God? You mean the one you voted out and kicked out and ran from and asked to sail away from your shores? You mean the God that told you to not harbor hogs and yet you are? That's the God you're wondering about? There is no room. There can be no room for known sin, known trespass, known ingratitude and pride in your life. It grieves my heart to see people who have sat under my preaching, who have been warned. I've warned them. I warned them with tears. I warned them the best I knew how to warn them. family's destroyed. I'll tell you, watch 10 more years and their children will be demoniacs. I wonder what color their hair will be. I wonder how many earrings will be on their face. How many tattoos they'll have. You don't play games with the Word of God. You don't know how far it's going to take. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll make you pay more than you want to pay. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, our society is a heartbreak. Even people who profess to know You, their churches are a wreck. They might as well be hog pens. Father, I pray this morning that we would take Jesus' side against every hog. That we would take Jesus' side against a hog-harboring society. That we would search our own hearts. And if we feel more comfortable with the hogs and with the hog-harboring society than we feel with Jesus and His disciples, help us to be honest about it and realize why. Help us to realize it's because some of those hogs are ours. We've got investment there. We've got stock in those hogs. And we've not taken Jesus' side against them. God, give us a hog-killing revival. Purge us, Lord. So that when You come, when the day of our visitation arrives, You will be welcome. That we will want to be with You. And Father, if we're a mess, help us to run to Jesus' feet and break and humble ourselves that we might be put back in our right mind. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. As a silent testimony to God and to Brother Mark, I wonder who would honestly say, Brother Mark, I've got some hogs I need to kill. And I testify to the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to purge my backyard and make sure there's no hogs there. Would you slip your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. God saw that. That's the first step. If you're not willing to admit you have hogs hidden, you're not going to kill them. Thank you. God bless you. Oh Lord, deliver us. Deliver us, Lord Jesus, from the deceptions of Satan. Deliver us from hard-heartedness. Deliver us from seared and violated consciences. Help us to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Give us the joy of maintaining such, that the joy of the Lord and the shine of His glory on our face would testify to the world that our conscience is clear. For where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. If we have stock in the hog market, that's where our heart's going to be. As you continue to pray and open your heart to God, I want you to ask the Lord if He sees any hogs in there that you overlooked. Anything that dampens your joy of Jesus is a hog. Anything that causes ingratitude and pride, you need to root out. No matter how deeply it is burrowed in, those demons knew that those hogs were wrong. That was their bargain, that Jesus would not send them out into the deep. He would not send them out of the country. They said, "We'll take care of these hogs for you." And He said, "Go." They knew they were wrong. And so did the people. Don't sear your conscience. Don't violate your conscience. Keep that conscience clean. Keep that heart soft. Any brother like to share something this morning? An exhortation before we go to prayer?